Father, we come to you. We thank you that your word is alive and full of power, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder, soul and spirit, joints and marrow. And it is the discerner, the seer into of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Teach us, God. Lead us, guide us, bring us into all truth. Cause us to understand and to comprehend what your word says so that we may be able to use it for every part of our lives. I thank you, Lord, that the entrance of your word brings light, illumination, causing us to see things we never would have seen. And I thank you, Lord, for that revelation. Thank you for the information. Thank you for the education. But today, we need this revelation revealed to us what's really going on so that we may give you glory for it in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that this word will go into good ground to bring forth great fruit and abundance. In Jesus' name, we call it done. And everybody said, amen. Let's make a confession. Hey, this is my Bible. I am what the Word of God says that I am. I have what the Word of God says that I have. I can do what the Word of God says that I can do. I am a hearer of God's Word on purpose. But I'm not just a hearer. I am also a doer of God's Word. And because I am a doer and not just a hearer of the Word of God, my life is blessed. This is my Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In Jesus' name, I call it done. Amen. Come on, give somebody a high five. Say, that's what I'm talking about. And say, that's what I'm talking about. Shoot, yeah. All right, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. Ushers, can we get some help up here in the front, please? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. Hebrews 12 and 1. We're studying faith. Can you say that? Say faith. Now, faith is important to operate in because once you're born again, I believe, this is my belief, is that it's the most important thing you can receive as a believer once saved, and that is faith. Say it again. Say faith. Now, it's important to get this now. I have been giving you faith statements each and every week, different ones to be able to help you to be able to, you know, understand this whole thing called faith. Previous week to last week, I said, stop blaming God. Faith is up to you. Now, these are simply principles in God's word. Please write that down if you didn't write it down already. Stop blaming God. Faith is up to you. It takes you to participate with God's word in order for faith to work. So you need to get that in your heart and know that. Now, last week I gave you a faith statement that faith is conditional, and it is. Faith doesn't just, you know, fall off the tree like an apple this fall. Faith is conditioned. We need the right conditions, and like we just ministered healing, deliverance, and canceled suicides and everything else just a moment ago under the anointing. We have to be conditioned for that. The conditions have to be right. And there's times when we haven't been able to minister because the conditions, the atmosphere even, is not correct. And I told you that even God wants us to use an air conditioner, as it were, where we condition our atmosphere. You use an air conditioner when you get in that car. You're going to turn that air conditioner on if it is anything like it's been in the last week or so. You're going to make sure that car gets a little cooled down. Or you can condition it warmer, either way you want to go. This week, I want you to write down this week's statement of faith. That is, the number one ingredient for faith is endurance. The number one ingredient for faith is endurance. If you're not planning on sticking with the things of God long, faith is not for you. Because faith by itself is the manifestation of a miracle. You might want to write that down too. Faith by itself is actually the manifestation of a miracle. People are always looking for a miracle instantaneously. But faith, believing God's word until it manifests, is actually a miracle too. But it's just that faith takes time or endurance. You have to endure to see the miracle come to pass. My wife endured for 6.5 years, speaking nothing but faith over me after I was drugged in the hospital in Vancouver, Washington, while we were out doing some business and checking on some of our properties we own down in the Vancouver, Portland area. I was doing some helicopter training, and all of a sudden, ended up in the hospital and was drugged. But she used faith for 6.5 years. I thank God for it, because a lot of women would have said, hey, listen, there's another dude out there somewhere, you know, or I can't be carrying this luggage. I'm sort of sick of him. And, you know, I got a little, you know, it was a little different. I can't believe that, you know, that drugs can do that to you. But then again, when you see people on drugs, you realize that it can cause your body. People die from overdoses. People die from not being able to handle even alcohol. There's some people, they drink, the first time they drink too much and their body couldn't take it and they're dead. But faith works because we have endurance. You cannot really have faith without endurance. Now, you can have a miracle without endurance, because God just sovereignly does what he does with a miracle. But even though faith is a miracle, we have to use our faith in God and endurance in order to see that miracle come to pass. This verse, this society is not, this is a microwave society. Forget the microwave. This is a, I want it now. I mean, I was in a drive-thru yesterday. My wife and I decided to get a little breakfast out of a drive-thru. It took about 27 minutes to get breakfast. That is not fast food. There was a restaurant down the street that we could have went to, IHOP or something like that. We could have had that food and been gone driving by them people that were still in line. 27 minutes. And believe me, everybody was complaining. It was just unbelievable. And you got up to the window and the people were just standing there looking like this is normal. We're not used to that. You know what I mean? If we want fast food, we want it fast. Or else forget the food. Hebrews 12:1, okay? We're studying faith now. This is going to be a lot of fun. Now, I want you to look at this scripture with me. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified for part of it. Then I'll read it out of some other translations. But the Lord came to me concerning this, because this scripture really is a very strong foundation for faith here in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. Now, watch what it's saying here, because the Lord started talking to me concerning this and somewhat challenging me with this, saying, you sure you know what you're talking about? It says, therefore, Hebrews 12:1, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, so great a cloud of witnesses. And you know, in my mind, let me digress for a moment. In my mind, for many years, I just dismissed that, because I heard people at funerals and different things, were they looking down from heaven at you? I said, no, they ain't. They ain't looking down. You go to heaven, you don't even want to look down here. Who wants to look at your funky attitude? You know what I mean. Who wants to look at you? And I was always, you know, and the Lord said, how do you know? You know what you're talking about. He said, how you know there's no witnesses? I said, I don't know. He said, well, you haven't been preaching this because you don't know what you're talking about. He said, I want you to study it up. If there are no great cloud of witnesses, how in the world can I say it? And then he began to bring it to me concerning what I'm teaching concerning faith. He said, don't you know, when kids have relatives in the stands, when they're playing football, they play better. Kids running track and know that grandpa and grandpa's there, along with the rest of the family, and they're cheering them on. And every time they run by that, they can hear a little bit of something. Ah, go, go, Johnny, go. Come on, Susie. You got it. Come on. You stretch them legs, girl. We all like people witnessing our lives. My dad was my hero. I wanted him to see everything I ever did. I remember the day that I took him up in an airplane in a twin engine. And it was 4th of July. And just about 9:30, 10 o'clock almost. And all the fireworks were starting to go off in different places. And had him get in the airplane. I said, Dad, didn't you get involved with aviation? He said, well, yeah, I was on out in the Pacific on an island when they sent the Enola Gay, the plane that actually dropped the bombs on Japan. I was there. I saw them take off. I said, really? Yeah, it was a joint base. I was in the Army, and that was in the Air Force there together, working together, and I was there. And so, yeah, I've been involved with aviation somewhat. He said, boy, how you get involved with this? You know how parents can make you feel like that. You know, what you doing with this? He's like, how you get involved with this? I said, well, you know, I just always wanted to be involved ever since I've been on these military bases with you, watching helicopters and airplanes and stuff like that. He says, so you going to fly this thing? I said, yeah, I'm going to fly this. Get in. He got in, put his seatbelt on, and adjusted his seat. Boy, you sure you know how to fly this thing? He getting a little nervous now. You sure you know how to fly this thing? I said, yeah, Dad, I know how to fly. I'm a commercial pilot now. Well, okay, let's go. I started the engine. I started engine number one, started engine number two. We started taxiing. I said, boy, you do know what you're doing, don't you? But, you know, I was enjoying the feeling of having someone witness that, you know, I know what I'm talking about. And we all want that. And, you know, we took off and flew around, watched the fireworks for a while, and went all through Puyallup and parts of Tacoma and came back around and landed again right there in Puyallup and put up the airplane and said, boy, how you know all this stuff? We all want somebody to be watching us. And I'm here to tell you, God told me to tell you, somebody's watching you. Now, I don't know who they are, where they are, what they're doing, but let's look at this and try to break this down, because I'm still studying this, because I wasn't a real strong proponent on this. I didn't poo-poo it. I didn't say it wasn't real, but this was pretty tough for me to swallow, but the Spirit of God took me to school on this. It says, therefore, since we are, he can't lie. We are surrounded by so great a, watch this now, cloud of witnesses. The Spirit of the Lord said, clouds are up high. Fog is down low. When a cloud goes low, it's called a fog setting. So they're not people horizon with us. They're not people on our same level. There's somebody somewhere that's a cloud of witnesses. Now, I got it in the Amplified so we can be able to get this. It says, who by faith, this is who these people are, who by faith have testified to the truth of God's absolute faithfulness. They themselves, whoever these people are or beings are, they have testified of the truth of God's absolute fullness. Now, we will always say it's Moses and Paul and David and, you know, all these folks, but I'm here to let you know, God perhaps have your relatives with that, because God is no respecter of persons. They had to be faithful, though. If they were not faithful people, I don't know, maybe God's got a viewing room in heaven for your faithful. You know that auntie that really loved you? It takes faithfulness. I said it takes faithfulness. And see, this is why you want to learn to be faithful. You want to hang around people that's faithful, not flaky people. Flaky people, a dime a dozen. They'll show up one time, you don't see them again. They stop going as soon as things get hot. See, and this is what happens a lot of times. When things get hot, people expect people to die. It's like when Paul was dealing with those people on the island of Malta. We've been to the island of Malta. It's about 90% Christian because Paul was there. Beautiful place, beautiful churches all through that place. It's a really nice, calm city and calm island, island of Malta, which is where Paul ended up when he was shipwrecked. And when he was there, they had him actually make a fire. And at first they thought they were, you know, from the demonic forces. But he made a fire and a snake came out of the wood that he had started the fire in and bit him on the hand, and he just shook it off. And once he shook it off, now these superstitious people on the island of Malta looked at him and started saying he's a god. That's why he ain't dying, because that kind of snake, you get bit by that snake, you dead. They knew that. But Paul, because of the heat, and this is what I like to say to people, when it gets hot, you find out where the snakes are. Mm-hmm. You want to find out what the snakes are? Let it. I said, let it get hot. And all of a sudden, the vipers start jumping out, biting at you. Well, they looked at Paul, kept looking at Paul. Paul just threw the snake off to the side. This is what happened when this church was foreclosed on. This church building was foreclosed on. I hope you know that. And God brought it back to us. You need to clap your hands. You're sitting in it. It was foreclosed on back when properties 2008, 2009, where property values were messed up. And you have to have a loan to value of 80% in commercial to be able to refinance your loan. Because they only give you a loan for 5 to 10 years, maybe 20 years. And so if it takes longer than that, you got to find refinancing. Well, this is the reason why people were taking keys out of their pockets and throwing them in the living room floor and walking away from their properties. Because the values was not there. The loan to value was not there. It wasn't that you can't make the payment. The term is due. It's over. Your 5 years, your 10 years is over. Well, our 10 years came due. No, it was 5 years, came due here. And we were going to just throw the keys into this building and say, forget it. The Lord said, if you move one picture, this is what he told me. I'm talking about faith. He said, if you move one picture off the wall, I'm coming against you. He said, this building is yours. I don't care what the economy is doing. You keep staying in this building. And we split the services, see, because I'm like David. David sometimes would split his army, take one, take it this way, and take another one that way. Abraham did the same thing to defeat the enemy. So we split the services. We had Wednesday night here. We had Sunday morning at the Boys and Girls Club. Y'all remember that? That's why we did it. Because I wanted to have an out. Because I was believing by faith, but if, you know, we'd have a place still to worship. And so we kept going back and forth. And the Lord, I remember standing at that door, what we call the stair tower. And the man who's now passed away, Bob Woodall, was standing at the door. He said, don't move. Now, he was from the mortgage company that held the note on this church. I'm saying this because this church has paid off. He said, don't move. We're going to work it out somehow. We're going to work it out. Even though banks were going under left and right and losing all kinds of properties. In fact, all the banks we were working with at that time, they're all done with. They don't exist anymore. In fact, there's federal investigations into them doing redlining with African-American churches. Won't get into that right now. But it may be something that's coming out in the government concerning that soon. I've written a letter to the president on it. So I'm letting you know it was God, because in that process, they put this building up for sale with a sign. I told them, don't put a sign out there because we're not moving. They put a sign out there. And the Lord, when we drove up that day and saw that sign saying for sale, the property that God had given us, God said, shake the snake. Do you all remember me telling you that? And I came to the congregation. I said, God told me to tell y'all. You drove up here, saw that for sale sign. I said, God told me to tell y'all, let's shake the snake. Because when the enemy bites onto you and latches onto you, you need to shake that sucker off. That's having faith in God. Well, Paul didn't blow up and die. So they started saying he's a god. They started worshiping him and started chasing him around town trying to worship him. And he had said, no, 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 don't do that. You're going to make it worse for me. I'm not a god. I'm a person just like you, but I believe God. And that's what you need to do today. Every one of you, if with your challenges, with your healings that you need, the deliverance from depression, all of these things, you need to believe God. But you got to realize that you're not just believing for yourself. I believe there's people watching you. That auntie that served the Lord with all her heart, that halfway raised you, she may be in that viewing room saying, come on now, keep them feet going. Don't slow down. You can win this race. You may have that grandma, you know that grandma that always gave you money every time you saw her? That grandma may be saying, come on, boy, you can do it. I mean, you may have your mom. Your mom may have been gone, but there's a great cloud of witnesses. I don't know who they are. I still haven't figured that part out. But I know there are some, and it's a cloud. Clouds are above. Fog is down below. One thing I do know, it ain't nobody in hell. Because ain't no clouds in hell. Fire's in hell. So you can hang that one up. So it's got a great cloud of witnesses who know about God's absolute faithfulness. So it says, what should you do next? Stripping off every unnecessary weight. It's time to cast off weights today. You ought to leave this church lighter than you came in here today in Jesus' name. You need to cast off stuff that's bugging you. You need to cast off every weight. Well, Pastor, it's not a sin, is it? To smoke a cigarette, is it? No, but your body is trying to tell you that those carcinogens going into your body, it's causing problems with your bloodstream and with your lungs and with other parts of your body, maybe even your liver. I mean, you don't need this. If God wanted you to be able to smoke, he could have put a cigarette on your nose and you could be able to just light it up. You don't need no cigarette. You don't need no cigarette. Okay? All right, so stripping off every. How many? Don't leave pet weights. See, ain't no sense in carrying nothing that you don't need to carry. Because weight becomes a drag. You ever had people around you? That's a drag hanging with them. Now, I come from the aviation world. So even at the airport, they're going to weigh your suitcase. And if you got over 50 pounds, sometimes over 35 pounds, depending on who you're flying with, they're going to charge you. Because that weight takes fuel to keep those engines going, and they can only take so much weight. And then when they get it, the weight, if they're going to take it, if they're going to say, okay, we'll take the weight, they have to balance it. So they go through a large understanding of weight and balance. And so you don't just bring all your barbells with you, okay, in your suitcase, because they're going to charge you $450 for one suitcase. Because your weight is too much, they got to deal with you. And see, weight causes you, along with drag, to go slower. Now, it's not like you're not going anywhere. It's just that you seem to be going slower. Go with me to Galatians 5 and 7 now. This is where we were last time. Galatians 5 and 7. Now, we're not talking about you're not making any progress. You just ain't making it fast enough. Some of y'all need to stop being slow pokes. Spiritual slow pokes. We see you once every 6 months. Or we see you once a year. Or we see you every other Sunday. Or we never see you on Wednesday. Or you get going and then you stop. You're not faithful. You got to be faithful at this thing for it to work. You can't be hopscotching the word of God. When God assigns you, you stay put. Remember, Kunta Kinte, Kizzy? Remember, stay put. That's what her name was. Kizzy means stay put. Okay? So once, because he got his foot cut off by trying to escape. And we don't want your foot cut off. Never mind. Anyhow. You ran well, it says. Who hindered you? So there's a who in the hindering of you. Now, I'm going to tell you, some of you ain't spiritually where you should be. You just are not. And I ain't sitting around waiting for you to get there. God's still talking to me. I got to move. God's moving, and you got to get moving. You can't sit around here and eat last year's meal from last year's teaching. You got to get with what God's saying now and stop crying in your soup about the Susie didn't like you last week. Who gives a rip? Nobody care about Susie didn't like you and she didn't like your hairdo. You should have looked at hers, especially the next day. Bird nest for sure. So it's important for us to grab a hold of these concepts. These are simple things. We're talking about running. We're talking about weights. We're talking about sin. This is so basic stuff. We shouldn't have to talk about this. We should be able to talk very smoothly, slowly, methodically about making great progress. Come on now. You ran well. It's not that you're not running. Who hindered you from winning the goal? See, and some of us, we're okay with second or third or fifth. God don't want you to be okay with just also ran. Also ran. In first place today was Bobby Smith. In second place was Jimmy Jones. And in third place was, of course, Charles Jones. And then there were also rans. In other words, they just ran. Nobody even cared where they came. You don't want to be that. When it comes to your weight race, you want to be number one in what you're doing. You want to be on fire for God. Come on now. I'm trying to keep us going. All right. So who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? That's the hindrance. Who is keeping you from obeying the truth right now? Be honest. Don't have to tell nobody, but who is keeping you from the truth? Now that's the who. Let's go back to it. There's a thing. Go back to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. So check the who's. We told you that last week and the week before. Find out who is hindering you. Some people could be tripping you up on purpose. They don't want you to be strong Christian because you have a reflection on them. Remember? Witnesses. Well, if there's witnesses above that we don't know who they are, there's got to be people on this earth that's watching you. And some of those people want to hinder you. I ain't let nobody hinder me. I don't care who you are. My wife didn't let me hinder her. For 2 years, I didn't go to church. I couldn't formulate what was being said. I couldn't understand it. But she ain't let that stop her. She kept going to church. She'd come back. And some of the times I look at, there goes my daughter taking her. There goes my son taking her to church. There goes my other daughter taking her to church. Taking her to church. And I was like, I'm being left. Now I'm the pastor. I'm the pastor of the church. But I was drugged. So, you know, I wasn't there. And I was watching her. And I felt like, you leaving me. Not you leaving me to go to church. You leaving me spiritually. And see, we can feel that way. And sometimes people feel like that way. So they go and pick at you. There's been people in races. I'm talking about serious races, marathons, that have been accused of tripping somebody. Punching somebody in the head. Never mind. While they're playing basketball. People doing different things. They've been accused of it. Don't know if it's true. But it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, we ought to do something. We ought to lay aside every weight and the sin. The weight and the sin. Please write that down. Weight and the sin. Weight and the sin. My thing is this. I don't care if it's a weight or a sin. I'm getting rid of it. Pastor, should I drink? I don't know if it's a weight or a sin, but I ain't doing it. And I know this is not popular, especially because this church gets very cold when I say that. I don't know what it is. Why would you let alcohol run your life? Maybe it's not you. Maybe it's the wind from outside that comes in all of a sudden every time I say that. Or you know, why would you get involved with fornication? You're not married. Sex is for married people. I don't care if you're having same marriage. I mean, same-sex marriage. It's not for that. It's a celebration of marriage. That's what fornication is for. To destroy that marriage relationship by putting out some false thing. And I know everybody gets pregnant. Don't matter if you're married or not. That's today's society. I know that you can have all these colors and all these A, B, C, D, E, F, G's in your name, and I ain't supposed to tell you nothing. I don't care. You can have whatever you want. You can be think you are a zebra. I don't care. Don't give a rip. But if you want to live a Christian life, I assume that's what you want to live when you come up in a place like this to hear a person like this. Now, I'll have to sit there and argue with that idiocy. And don't tell me about nothing biological about it, because biologically it don't make no sense either. It's unnatural. The Bible talks about that. And fornication will take you to hell. And anybody supporting is going with them. So why? What's wrong with this? Why is this so hard in this society? I asked God, why? Why? I've asked him, why did you call me now? These people are crazy. Why did you call me for this now? Why couldn't I be here when we used to have, you know, the Wards and the Flintstones and the Jetsons, when people really wanted to live like Mayberry RFD and stuff? Why couldn't you call me then? Why did you put me on this planet at this time now with these idiots that hate everything when you try to tell them the truth? They hate you. You don't have to hate me. It's not my word. It's God's word. But there's some people waiting to hear the truth. I'm going to find them. I think I found some right here in PCC. But we're going to find more. We're going to fill this place with people that want truth. Not get mad at you over the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth. You want to hear a bunch of lies? Go sit in a bar. They'll slobber over you and lie all day long. You're the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. You're just a beautiful baby. I can't believe I'm seeing you. You're looking at the ground. I can't believe what I'm looking at. It's just so, you just so, I'm telling you, I ain't never seen that look like you. Looking at the other lady. I can't believe you. You're so pretty. I'm so glad to be. I'll be back. Never comes back. You want that? That's what's out there. Instead of coming up in the church and believing God for a spouse that loves you and you love them, nothing wrong with that. Just don't be weird about it. You know what I mean? Anyhow, how to get to that? Okay, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us or ensnares us. And let us, with endurance, that's our word for today, run this race that is set before us. Let's put it in the King James and read it one time that way, and I'm going to leave you alone. Look at what it says. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about, we're compassed about, we are surrounded about with a great cloud of witnesses. If you knew your grandma that taught you how to live for the Lord, saw you doing what you're doing, would you be happy? You know, or you got that father that raised you the right way, or that mother that cared for you, struggled and built you up and helped you along. See, we have to realize there's somebody, we want people to be able to be proud of us. There's nothing wrong with that. Use your faith. There's somebody watching you. Well, there are people around you. Some of them aren't even believers that are watching you. They want to know how this thing works. So it's not time to compromise, to lie, to cheat, to be able to make it. Because if you get caught, you're going to disappoint people. Because there are witnesses and you can't get rid of them. The Lord said, you need to study this a little more. Because I said there are a cloud of witnesses. Compass about, and they are. You need to find out who they are. He says, I know who they are, but you need to study. and find out who they are. So you should lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets you. Fly an airplane, we don't even put the landing gear out. We wouldn't put the landing gear out at 450 knots or 450 miles an hour. They'll break off. The flaps that closes them up would probably fly off. We have to wait to a certain speed. When you're going fast, you got to watch what you're doing. Because just little things can cause a challenge. And some of us don't realize how spiritually high we are in God, how fast we're going. And so we got to watch what we do. Little things do matter to people. You don't know who's looking at you, not just from heaven, but from this earth. We got to give an account for what we do, whether we're tripping people up or encouraging people. You need to stay steady. Stay faithful in the Lord. I said, stay faithful in the Lord. Don't fall off from God for some people that are hanging around you, you trying to please. Don't live for other people who ain't living for God anyhow. You need to be fired up for the Lord. And those that want to be with you either get burned up or burning with you on fire. It's not time to fall asleep. I said, it's not time to fall asleep. I know the world's crazy and they accept anything. You can do anything and they'll still call you a Christian. But this is not the time, because you got to give an account to God. I'm supposed to tell you, Jesus is coming again soon. I'll say it again. Jesus is coming again soon. Turn to somebody and say, Jesus is coming again soon. And we need to get ready for it. So I want to give you these things. I want you to write these down. Number one, you need to know that you're surrounded. Please write that down. I know that I am surrounded. You should be aware of it all the time. People are watching me. If not from heaven, around me. So know that you're surrounded. Number two, ask yourself every day, what can I strip off that's unnecessary? There's got to be something, an attitude, an anger, a way of doing things that I can just throw to the side. You don't have to do what you're doing. Number three, you need to write down and ask yourself, what's entangling me now? What is entangling me now? Fourth thing you need to write down concerning this, because you're in a race. You need to make a decision and write this down. Do I have the endurance to win this race? You need to check up consistently. You know one of the reasons why you have connecting flights? It's because the plane can't make it all the way you need to go to. So they got to stop somewhere and have you change off to another plane that's ready to go to that rest of that destination. You got to make decision that you're ready to go all the way with the Lord on this stuff, because it's going to take endurance. But when you get that endurance going, victory is yours, and victory is sweet. It is a wonderful thing to live in victory. Come on, give God some praise. That's where it goes, right there. Come on, let's thank him in Jesus' name. Let's make a confession. Stand up and make a confession with me, please. Say, God, today I become a person that has a hard shell on the outside. Close your eyes. Say, God, today I become the person that cannot be easily tripped up, moved, or delayed. God, today I become the person that lives by endurance in everything I do. I'm not quitting. I'm winning. And I'm not going to win if I quit. So I'm not quitting. I'm winning. And I'm going forward. God, today I make a decision. I'm checking the weights. I'm getting rid of the sins and anything that easily trips me up. In Jesus' name, help me with this, I ask. Amen. Come on, give God praise in Jesus' name. Come on, you're on your way. Glory to God.